God, grant me the serenity
to
accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd like to welcome you. You can use the chat function to exchange phone numbers if you care to. I believe I have that enabled. Yes, is there anyone here in their first 30 days? Virtual hands or actual hands? I do not see anyone.
Julie, you can unmute.
Julie?
Yes.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, and I'm now going to read the AA preamble. This tells us what AA is and what it is not. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. Open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation, ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we're discussing step two. And please, everyone, welcome our panel this evening, Marty and Brian.
Hello, Marty and Brian.
Hi.
Thanks, guys, for joining us. Let's see here. So, yes, we'll be reading from, I'm going to put up the reading now. Beg your pardon for a moment. I'm not too handy with this yet. I beg your pardon, folks. David, can you hear me? David, can you hear me?
Yeah, I just shared my screen with the reading. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I'm sorry. Okay, from page 45. In the preceding chapters, I beg your pardon, step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. From page 45, in the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To anyone who feels he is atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up, something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Marty or Brian, whichever of you would like to start. You can unmute yourself.
So let's both unmute. You unmuted, Bri?
Yeah.
Bri?
Yeah, I'm unmuted.
Can't hear you, buddy.
Can't hear me? Oh, come on.
Can everybody else hear Brian?
I can hear him fine.
Can you hear me?
You're good. Yep. You're good.
I can't hear Brian.
You can't hear me? I guess we're going at one at a time.
That's interesting. Okay, so if everybody else can hear Brian, why do you run through it at the start and I'll try to figure out what's happening here.
Oh, man.
This is terrible. I want to hear what you got to say.
Shoot. Well, I guess I'll just do the best I can. Hey, I'll start. You try reconnecting. Oh, he can't hear me.
Ooh, beg your pardon?
Oh, can you not hear me now?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, we could hear
you.
I
was thinking if Marty reconnected, I could start and he could reconnect, but he can't hear me saying that. Here, I'm just going to chat it to him. Sorry, everybody. This is really unusual.
Don't worry about Marty. You just share. We'll let Marty know when you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I love this part. I actually use this part all the time when I'm talking about any of the steps, because I think that paragraph in the middle and at the beginning, if you honestly want to, you find you can't quit entirely, or if when drinking you have a little control over the amount, you're probably an alcoholic. Like that to me just sums it up. Like that's the information I need to know. And you know, the book to this point has sort of helped me to see whether or not that's true about myself. Like I have to figure that out. If I'm going to go on, I have to recognize the truth of these statements. And then the next one following it up by saying, if that's the case, then I'm suffering from this illness, which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So the first part is for me to figure out, you know, is it true for me? And, you know, I do that by looking at my own experience. I read the book. I work with my sponsor. I ask myself these questions and decide, like, is that what happens to me when I start to drink? I have little control and I can't stay stopped, you know, and that I have to understand whether or not that is the case for me. And then if it is, then I don't really have to think about too much more. Like I just have to, you know, keep going in these steps. The first step is where I get to do all my thinking. And then in the rest of the steps, it's just kind of, hey, follow the directions, right? Follow what it says to do. But it's going to line me up a little bit to this spiritual experience that I need that's going to conquer this thing. And they start me out. I'm so glad this information is in here, because I was the agnostic. I was the, you know, agnostic bordering on atheist. I had no use for this stuff. This was for my granny because she was going to be dead soon and she needed the comfort of this thing. I didn't need it. I was too smart for that. I thought it's a crutch. It's a hoax. Like that's the mind that I showed up here with. So when they tell me, you know, when it says it's such an experience seems impossible, that is exactly what it seemed to me up until the time that I became convinced that I was powerless over alcohol, that I became convinced that if I honestly wanted to, I wasn't going to be able to stop, that I became convinced that I didn't have any control over the amount that I took once I started. Once I became convinced of that, then I had to consider this information because I didn't want to die. I finally recognized that this was beyond my control. It was going to take me out and I didn't want to die. So when it started talking about this stuff, up until that point, my attitude towards this was like, well, I don't, you know, I have a lot of opinions about God. I have a lot of opinions about religion. I have a lot of opinions about the steps. And I, you know, I look at the, oh, well, that step's okay. And I don't know about this step, and I'm not too sure about that one, but maybe I could do this one if I kind of modify it a little bit, you know? But once I was faced with that alcoholic destruction, once I became convinced of that, then I started looking at this a little bit differently. I started looking at, well, what could help me? Like, what could I do? And I, you know, my saying to my sponsor, like, well, what do I do now? Like, what do I do next? And him taking me to this and saying, like, it's okay that you feel that way, that you felt that way. A lot of people did it. You know, it's just like half of our fellowship, you know, felt that way. And it's not a block. You just have to keep going. You know, to be doomed to an alcoholic, oh, sorry, to continue means disaster, especially if I'm of the hopeless variety, right? Like, that's the part that I had to get convinced of, was that hopelessness. What does that mean? You know, do I see any hope at all in my next drink? Do I see any hope at all in my life as I've been living it? Do I believe that this is ever going to get better for me? And I had to say that I didn't believe that that was the case anymore. And then to be doomed to an alcoholic death or live in a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives for me to face. Probably because I can't actually make either one of those things happen for myself either, right? Like, if I was better at being doomed to an alcoholic death, I probably would have killed myself. But I found that I lacked the courage when that idea would come into my head, as it did many nights. You know, and like Bill says, I cursed myself for a coward. But I believe, you know, I thought, I want to die. I just don't know how to do it. Or if I could have been better at living on a spiritual basis, then I probably wouldn't be here either, because then I wouldn't need it. You know, I read all these, you know, self-help books and all these, I go to these different conferences and listen to different people and read different books and be like, oh yeah, that's so great. And I'd have about, you know, 10 minutes or maybe 2 days. You know, once I read a book that affected me so strongly, like for 2 days, I was like sitting around looking, you know, sitting under the tree in my yard going, oh, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it so beautiful? Isn't everything just so beautiful? And yet, then it's just me again, you know, then it's just me with all the my thinking and the heaviness, the weight of living, and I can't make sense of the world, and I drink again, and I'm miserable, and I think to myself, like, you know, thank God I can drink, because everything else in my life sucks. So if I was better at living on a spiritual basis, if I could have made it last, or if I was better at dying an alcoholic death, then maybe I would have taken that route. But I couldn't make either one of those things happen. So it's very difficult position to be in, right? It's a decision that I can only make if I don't really have any other options, you know, that I'm going to move forward with this. Do you want to jump in, Marty?
Well, sorry about the, I muted myself. That's never happened in the history of my life, actually. I muted myself. And trust me when I say that will never, ever happen again. I was so happy that Brian and I were going to have a chance to come here and share just this little piece of reading with you. And hopefully we'll get through some good material tonight. And the reason is that when my friend Brian talks about this, the powerlessness and then this sort of engagement with sort of building a relationship with the power, I'm always in awe of his ability to carry that message. And I've been at your meeting, guys, a couple of times, and I've listened to some of your talks, some of your recorded talks, and I really like this format. And it gives myself, anyways, a good opportunity to sort of look at this stuff just a little bit differently. And in this particular case, it's an interesting thing being powerless over alcoholic. It's an interesting thing having that as the identified problem, that I'm powerless over alcohol, that I'm without power, and that my life is unmanageable by me. I mean, that's sort of really the acknowledgement in that first step, is that I got a serious, serious problem. And my problem is that I'm powerless over alcohol, and it's going to kill me. It's a double-edged sword. Can't live with it, can't live without it, I'm dead. And then my life is unmanageable by me. And no matter what I throw at this problem in step one that's identified, nothing's going to happen for me. I'm going to continue. Like Brian said, to be doomed to an alcoholic death doesn't mean, it didn't say you're going to die. You're going to be doomed to an alcoholic death. So you're going to live with that for a little while. You're going to live with the prospect and the doom of dying, which most of us here know what that feels like. And I felt that way when I was sober, not when I was drunk. I felt like that when I was sober, that I'm going to die. And then when I'd have a few drinks, all of a sudden I felt like living again. Some of you guys didn't want me around, but I sure felt like living. I get a few drinks into me, everything changed. All bets are up. But with that acknowledgement of that problem that I have in step one, which is basically saying that as an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, the real McCoy, I'm dead, or something else has to happen. Now, I don't know any of this stuff when I'm first trying to get sober. We got a couple people put their hands up new in sobriety, like Julie, and, you know, hey, welcome to AA. You know, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Sitting in rooms like this with people like this, that's crazy great, because you're going to be exposed to some really magical stuff that's going to happen. But this power of this first step, which is that's the one that has to be reinforced. Powerlessness is the only issue in AA, drives me into this second step, which is actually so the solution wrapped up into one step. So I'm going to come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, which means I could be placed in a position where I will never have to take that first drink again. I would be placed in a position where being sober is not going to feel like I'm going insane. I'll be placed into a position of sanity. I could be restored to some level of sanity in my life, in particular around the obsession to drink. But I got to tell you, you know, I'm 30 years or something sober. I can't even remember. Mathematically, it's 33 years is what it is. So I'm 33 years sober. And still today, I get confirmation after confirmation after confirmation how important this work is to me in the second step. Because this isn't just about a rudimentary sort of idea. This is, I got to come to believe that there's going to be something other than me. It tells me that half our fellowship was like this. That means the other half of the fellowship wasn't. We're all still here together. How does that work? You know, people want to get into arguing about religiosity and what God and all that kind of foolishness that has nothing to do with it. It talks about accepting spiritual help. The things that I really wanted to talk about here today is certainly under this auspice, where it says, Brian, that I'd read that to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis, those two alternatives. The very next paragraph, because they don't think you were listening the first pair of time you heard it, they're going to repeat it again. They're going to change the language so they can trick you. And it says, after a while, we had to face the fact that we got to find a spiritual basis of life, major hyphen, which includes all the pain and the car crashes and all the suicide attempts and handfuls of pills and all the doctors and the psychiatrists and all the broken relationships. That's that long dash there. Or else, you know, you're doomed. So the doomed is that hyphen, which, you know, Julie could probably tell us a lot about what it's like to suffer as an alcoholic just a short time ago and in a practicing alcoholism and untreated alcoholism, what that feels like. That's, I can't imagine, like, I don't know of anything that feels worse than that. Being alcoholic, being consumed by alcoholism and having no treatment. If I take a couple of drinks, that's a good treatment for my alcoholism. It's got some really bad side effects like prison and beatings and shit like that. But in the moment, in the time that I take that prescription, I'm pretty good. You know, now, you know, it talks about we must find a spiritual basis. I just want to talk for a moment about the word basis. It doesn't matter where you look it up. Bill is going to consistently talk about it throughout the book anyway. But if you look up the definition of basis, you'll find about how important and how often he refers to that word. This has to be the basis of our life. It's not a part-time pitch hitting, as they referred to, part of our life. This has to be the basis of our life, is that we're going to move towards the spirituality. And it says that our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. So what happens is sometimes we and alcoholics make up too big a deal out of what's supposed to happen here in step two. And again, when Brian and I talk, we love to wax philosophical when it's just him and I, but most of the time when we're asked to present on this stuff, we present on how to take the steps. We present on taking the steps because our how it works is, here are the steps we took. I hope we get there tonight because we want to take the step with you. Now, this point here is the desperation that needs to be in place in order for you to take the step. Nobody's going to do this if they've got another plan. I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. As long as I got a plan, as long as I have some stake in the game, as long as I got another shot, as long as I got another, you know, I crawl back to my parents, for example, on bended knee, beg their forgiveness, and they bring it in, and I know in the back of my mind, I just need a spin dry, I just need a little cooling out time, and then I'm going to just get my life back. I'm not going to drink or drug anymore. That's off the table now. I don't drink and drug anymore. I haven't for 3.5 days. I do no more. And then you're back in a couple of weeks pass, and, you know, that stuff starts inside again. That little stuff, the little stuff we're going to talk about in a bit starts happening. I have no choice but to treat my alcoholism, and bang, bang, I'm off and running. It's almost like I know that when I was in Alcoholics Anonymous for about 9 or 10 years, I still thought being sober was a choice. I still thought, I never thought that drinking was necessarily a choice for me, but I thought, in reference to all of our literature and what I was hearing in AA, when people would say, I chose not to drink today, or how long you've been sober, I didn't know, you know, those kinds of sayings, well, that's the stuff I heard in AA, was don't drink and go to meetings. So I thought, okay, I'm going to choose not to drink and go to a meeting. And that's how I, like, that's what grounded into me in those many, many first years of my sobriety. So it wasn't like I got tricked. And you know, I always thought to myself, man, that's weak. I can't ever remember. This stuff just, you know, and I, that's where I was going with my own experience. Well, I found out later I never did have a choice. You know, so when I get to this proposition right here, I have to accept spiritual help or else. Okay. Right? Is there more on that?
Yeah, I just want to add one thing before we move on. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about the new, for new people and, you know, sort of being faced in this position. But I always like to think about this too, from the perspective of somebody who's been through this before. If you've been through this work before or multiple times, there's still a lot here for us, you know, and I always come back to this. When I work the steps again, I don't start with an inventory. I start back at step one and consider whether or not I still believe that that's true for myself. And I have to ask, and when I get to this part, you know, do I believe that a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life is sufficient to overcome alcoholism? Do I believe that I can be philosophically comforted or be moral? Do I believe that the needed power isn't there? And the way that presents in my life is, you know, my ego's gotten very subtle. It's come to all the meetings. It's read all the books. It's had all the talks. It's done all the work with me. And it's become very, very subtle. And it knows how to couch itself in spiritual words. And I have to consider, like, whether or not I really believe that I am a powerless alcoholic who's leading an unmanageable life, or have I figured out the right number of meetings to go to and the right number of sponsees to have and the right number of pages to read, and I do my Bill story in the morning and I do this prayer at night and I talk to my sponsor once a week for a coffee. Like, have I figured out a way to manage my life through a code of morals and philosophies, or am I still a powerless alcoholic? And the way that I can tell is by what's happening in my life. Are the problems in my life, do they look different to me? You know, as the guy at work who's a pain in the ass, is that okay? Because, you know, I'm very spiritual and I know better than to get a resentment, but he's a jerk, you know, and I don't really like him, but it's because he's a jerk. It's not because there's something wrong with my spiritual condition. Like I said, I read Bill's story every morning, so it couldn't be that. Or, you know, I can't get along with my wife very well, but she never went to Al-Anon. So she, you know, she doesn't really understand the spiritual life. So, you know, it's not my fault. I'm practicing a better code of morals and philosophy. So I have to consider whether or not I still believe this is true when I'm coming back through this work again. Yeah. Do I actually believe that this is true? And then when I get down to where lack of power is my dilemma, well, is that still my dilemma? Is lack of power still my dilemma, or have I learned to manage better? But then the great news is that this, when it says that's exactly what this book is about, is going to main object to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. That will solve my current problem. Not just the problem I had when I showed up here, not the problem I had the last time I worked the steps or the time before that. My current problem, which is that I can't get along with my wife. There's a guy at work who's a jerk. I can't stand my business meetings at my home group because everybody's insane. That it will solve that problem as well, but only if I have the humility to recognize the position that I'm in today, right now, currently.
Yeah, and I like, you know, and we're going to, before we go on to the next one, Malcolm, we have this, because yeah, we did a good piece of reading there. And again, if you gave Brian and I one paragraph of the book, we could talk for 3 days. We had to do a weekend conference on it. But this whole thing about being morally and philosophically, my morals and my understanding of morality and all that before I my life shifted a few years back was not very clean. It was pretty tainted and pretty mixed up. And that's another story for another day. But the important thing here is that our human resources, which means what Brian was talking about, I can take all of these beautiful things, these beautiful principles and ideals and behaviors, and I can implement them and put them in play, marshaled by my own will. And it'll look a lot like to you and to my sponsor and to everybody around that, you know, oh man, look at that guy. He's hardcore. He's a hard, you know, the disciplines. I got a prayer mat beside my bed. I get down on my knees. It looks like this guy's into this shit. Like he's not just, this is a real deal. But sometimes I'm on my knees thinking about the San Jose Sharks getting rid of Joe Thornton. You know what I mean? It's not always happening. You know what I'm saying? I'm a human being having all of these human experiences, and every once in a while some spirituality will creep in and it blows my mind as much as it does other people's. But the bottom line, it says our human resources is marshaled by the will. So anything that my will is driving, it says they're not sufficient. So it's not going to be sufficient to what? It's not going to be sufficient to live. And it says they failed utterly. And then it goes on, and this is an important piece. I think Charlie pointed this out to me. No, it was Mark. It was Mark Houston said, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. This isn't about drinking anymore. This is so far beyond drinking. What does that mean? That's much more than staying sober. And this isn't about faith anymore. It's about accessing God's power. It's about accessing his power. It's got nothing to do with believing there's a God as much as it has to do with it. Just dropping to the knees and surrendering it and being a part of this spiritual process as it unfolds. And the thing is we don't, there was something else here, another beautiful time reference that I wanted to, I don't know if Brian and I, again, we do this a lot. I don't know if I've ever seen this before, but I'm not going to be able to find it here. I saw it just a while ago when we were reading. But anyway, the time references in this book are so casual and so gentle, yet that this means like now, this step we take in the first step, you know, it took me X number of years to take the first step. And then it takes me X number of hours to take the next several. It's not about a lifelong process. Like, again, like I was sold this bill of goods. This is actually a book of instructions. You engage in it. You improve in your effectiveness and usefulness. And over life, you just get really, really entrenched and much better at it for sake of another term. But it becomes a working part of your life. And we read up to, that's what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem, just like Brian said. And it's exactly what this book is about. There's nothing else that it's about. It's not even about drinking. It's about enabling you to find a power that will solve your problem, the one you had this afternoon, the one you had 15 minutes before you jumped online. This book, its object is to enable you to find that power. It will bring that to you. It will help you to be restored to sanity. But you got to get out of the way, right? You have to get out of the way. That's what we do in the next few steps. But okay, let's continue on. Malcolm, thanks for your patience there.
Thank you, Marty. And thank you, Brian. From page 46, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men.
That's a beauty.
That's a beauty.
Again, that stuff, this saved my life. You know, the first time I came through these steps, I had to, you know, I was 3 years in and out. And then I ran into a guy who was talking out of this book at a big book workshop. And he explained my life for the last 3 years from the front of the room out of the first step. And I never heard anything like that before. And it blew my mind. And I went and asked him if he would help me. And he said he would. And, you know, we got together at his house and we read this book and I did, you know, he told me we were going to do that and I was going to do what it said to do. And that's what we did. And so I became convinced on step one, but then we got to this point and he said, well, do you have a power? Do you believe in a power? And I was like, no, I don't. And he said, well, you're going to need to have a power to move on. So you better go home and think of something. And so I did. Like I said, I was, you know, when I think in here, maybe on the next page, you know, bristled with antagonism. That was me. I bristled with antagonism. I had read the Bible so that I could argue with you about the Bible drunk on a bar stool. I loved that. That was one of my favorite things to do, was to go down to the pub and find somebody who would engage me in that conversation. That's the mind that I brought here, you know. And but when I became convinced of what was gonna, what laid ahead for me, and as a result of understanding step one, finally, I didn't know what to do, you know. And so I went home, and I thought, man, I don't know what kind of power I could come up with. I don't believe in anything. And actually that was kind of what I came up with. This is what I came up with. And if you struggle with this, if you're new, you know, Julie, if you're struggling around step two, please steal my step two. My step two was, there's something, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to do the rest of the steps and see what happens. That was my step two. That was my power for step two. And I thought, okay, well, that's the best that I can do. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna have to go back and explain it to this guy. Now, he's a minister, and he's like a hardcore guy. Like he's not like a United Church minister, like nice guy minister. He's a hardcore. And so I went back, and I was very concerned about what he was gonna think of that. And so I'm trying to think, well, how can I prepare this? And so I went back to his house, and he said, do you have a power? And I said, yep. And he said, great, let's move on to step three. He didn't care. He didn't care what my power was. He knew, even though he was in his other life, or the rest of his life, or whatever you want to call it, he preached a certain way and he believed a certain way, but he understood himself as an alcoholic, and he understood this program, and he knew that it didn't matter. So as soon as he heard that I had a power, he said, let's move on to step three. We don't have to spend any more time here. I didn't have to explain it to him. And that is so important. It's so important to know that you don't have to explain it to anybody. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody else. You don't have to write a book about it. You don't have to understand it yourself. You just have to say, hey, there's something. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to do these steps and see what happens. And that is sufficient. That is sufficient. That's not my current belief. My belief has changed. The door is kicked wide open over the last 13 years. But man, you can start from there, you know, and that's awesome. And I hope that if you struggle, that you will steal that, because it works.
Yeah, right on, buddy. And I found, you know, it's the paragraph just before we started to read. It says, we found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice, I just want to touch on that, because that's the time reference I was talking about. As soon as. That's not the last time they use that. That's about as deliberate and about as specific as they ever get about time references, except for the 1 hour in between steps five and six. Right here, it says, as soon as what? As soon as a guy expresses his willingness, as soon as he's able to say, okay, tell me what to do. He said, we tell the person right then, they're going to commence to get results. They're going to commence to get results from that point forward. And the trick is to stay on point. It goes on to say, you know, it goes on to say that we can't ever really fully define or comprehend God. We're not, and that's the beauty of it. That's what remains the mystery. That Sandy used to do full weekend workshops on the mystery, the mystery of God, and that's why it remains the mystery. Your own conception continues to grow, and it continues to alter and change, and feel. It never ever is wrong. It's always exactly where it's supposed to be, and it always remains a mystery, because tomorrow is yet to be written, right? So it says our own conceptions, and that as soon as it was sufficient to make the approach, and they mean the approach to God. And then again, what does it say? As soon as, again, same words, same wording, same time frame. When? Now. When? Right now. As soon as, right now. Now's the time that Alcoholics Anonymous works. The second step is right now. And it's provided, it says this is gonna pay some huge dividends. And what Brian said is, it's the minute that Brian acknowledged, okay, now I don't know what it is. I know there might be something, but I'm just going to take the rest of these steps and see what happens. That's exactly what this says. I don't know other way to interpret that. It says there's a possible existence of something, and we began to possess by new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. As soon as we engage in the process of steps 3 through 11, we begin to sort of have this experience that confirms steps 1 and step 2, that I'm powerless and there's another power. It begins to be confirmed by the work we're doing. It becomes confirmed by the nut jobs we're sponsoring. It becomes confirmed by all the crazy shit we see at AA meetings and out in the parking lots and golfing with alcoholics. You ever golf with alcoholics? The need for a God becomes really important if you ever golf with alcoholics. And it says for those who seek him, right? We learn that we become seekers. We learn that we just are people that are interested in finding this power. As broad and roomy, open to all who believe. It says, you know, I remember how you really make your start is no different than Clancy said. You're going to take actions that you don't believe in. We can't hover. And I say this because we're moving into a place where you're going to share with somebody how to actually take this step. When you're sitting with a new guy or a new gal and you're talking about this step, it's really, you need to just say to them, like, you're screwed. And there's not a lot of upside, you being in charge of stuff. There's just not a lot of upside here. So you're going to have to maybe do some things that you don't think are very smart or intelligent or wise or befitting your sort of incredible intelligence. You're going to have to do a few things. And it says, you're not going to believe that these things are going to work. But I'm going to be standing right beside you when you smack yourself in the head and go, holy shit, it worked. Why didn't I do that sooner? Why didn't I do that as soon as? Why did I have to wait until a separation or I'm in divorce court again, second time in my 18 months of sobriety? Why did I have to wait? You know? So that's it. You take actions you don't believe in. That's how you make your start. We meet a lot of people and we converge in rooms and in environments and detox on step one. We find each other because alcohol has highlighted like a neon sign over our heads that we're busted up and smashed, and Alcoholics Anonymous members come running to the rescue, and we see each other on the first step. But we don't stay together on the first step. Our rallying point is the second step. We have all gained access to and believe in something more powerful. We don't need to convince you what that is. We need to convince you that you suck. There's options here. There's possibilities here. So let's try this. Let's just try this. And I'm not going to keep you around for a long time. If you know me, this ain't going to take long. We're going to clear this up in a couple of weeks. Trust me. You won't be wasting a whole lot of time in AA. You might just meet a few people that are good people and you can be on your way. But if you're one of us, you will take this like a duck to water. And it starts right here, right there where I just said, you lay aside prejudice. That's so important because what we're moving into, it's got teeth. You know, it's got teeth. You take actions you don't believe in. That's how you make your start. That's a process of the 12 steps, and that's how two is starting to fit in there. It's the beginning, I think.
Thanks, guys.
If you haven't noticed yet, Brian is he's the invocative one, and I'm the he's the provocative one, and I'm the invocative one.
If you guys want me to put the readings back up at any point, just let me know. Yeah, this next one is from page 47. We needed to ask ourselves. I beg your pardon. I've got it. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. There's step two, man. That's step two right there. You know, that's what you do. That's what I do with a guy. We'll have a talk, right? Like, everybody's on a spectrum with this stuff. Like I said, my beginnings in this were very, like, I didn't have a lot of use for it. I'll have a conversation with a guy about, you know, belief, about the difference between religion and spirituality, about the necessity for this stuff based on step one. We do step one first because that's the teeth for this thing. That's the driver. Like, I'll have a lot of opinions until I realize that I'm going to die from this thing. And then I might do the most miraculous thing in the world, which is to change my mind. Oh my God. Imagine taking all of my wonderful plans that I worked so hard on and then saying, no, this might not be right. I'll have that talk with somebody, but this is the question, you know, this is the question for step two. Do you believe you're powerless over alcohol? Do you believe your life's unmanageable? And do you believe, or even willing to believe, man, that door is wide open, eh? You are even willing to believe that there's a power that's greater than yourself. And if you say that you can, then you're on your way. Isn't that a great statement? You know, that you're on your way. Sometimes this stuff blows me over because I think of the life that I led, the person that I was, the way that I acted, the harm that I caused, the destruction that I caused in my life. And then I show up here and I'm broken, but I'm belligerent and I'm angry and I don't want this stuff. I just want to be better. I don't want to do this stuff. I just want to be better, you know? And God is there and I don't even deserve it. I don't even want it. And the door is just it's open just the tiniest little crack for me to peek through and go, man, maybe I could have that. I'm gonna cry. Wow. It's so powerful. It's so powerful that this is available to us, you know, to me. With everything that I did, this is available to me, that I could come in and just have the smallest little faith, like so little that you could almost say it wasn't there, but it was there. And because of that, because I could say yes to this question based on that, go home and find a power in that thing I came up with and went back. And this is the question my sponsor asked me. And I can say, yeah, I do. I am willing. And from there, my whole life changed, you know, everything about my life changed because of that. That one little question, that gateway, that doorway to move forward into a new life, to move forward into having, like it says, having my ideas rearranged, you know, having all my old conceptions thrown to one side and not be the driving force of my life anymore. That's incredible. I cannot believe this sometimes when I read it, that this was available to me, someone who, the scrap heap of life, right? That's what we're talking about, getting pulled off the scrap heap.
Did you get all choked up there?
I did, buddy. I got totally choked up. I always do when I think about this stuff, you know?
What's the matter with
God
you?
God is great. That's what it is. God is great. I'm so pleased.
And we spend when we do this stuff sometimes, again, we talk about taking guys through the work. And it's amazing to see the lack of resistance, because I sat around meetings for a long time where some meetings just say, don't bring up God. You know, you'll clear a room out. Don't bring up God as a topic. People will leave. You don't want to scare away the new guy. And it was like, holy shit, the guy's a hardcore alcoholic addict, lives there living in the streets and just sleeping on the street for 9 years. And me saying the G word's going to scare him out of the room. Like, this was this stupid bullshit that I heard for years. Now, look at the simplicity behind this, though. Well, it says, again, it talks about laying aside prejudice and setting stuff aside. We didn't cover those two paragraphs just before the introduction, but Brian said it. He says, we don't ask you to get rid of your old days. Hey, dude, come on in here. We're going to change everything about you. I mean, we are, but we don't tell them that at the beginning. We say, come on in here. Okay. You know, you got a few ideas and some of them are a little bit wonky, but who am I to judge? I judge no man. What we will do is we will set them aside for a little while and we'll try this. And look at the question, do I now believe? What's the word there? Now, do I now believe? 50% of our fellowship said, yep, move on. The question is, do I now believe right now, right here? No more spiritual world in the word in the world than now. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? And Brian talked about how much we lower the bar, because a guy will say to me, no, I don't believe in that shit, man. My little dog, Rusty, he disappeared, never came back, and no, there's no God. What God would take away my beloved little Rusty? And I'll go, geez, son, that's a terrible story. And if you were with Brian, you'd probably be crying his eyes out. But me, on the other hand, we're going to sort of sit and wrestle this down. I said, are you even willing to believe? What? Are you even willing to believe? Okay, I hear you don't believe. But are you even willing to believe? And the moment he says yes, we assure him he is on his way. That sounds like they're talking to me sitting across the table, like Ebby and Bill were sitting across the table. Bill had all his lifelong conceptions. He knew everything there was to know about the master of the power of the, he knew everything. And him and Ebby, it says in our book really nicely, they were just, Ebby was having a tea and Bill was having some gin. And Bill had been having some gin all morning, so I don't know how you guys drank, but imagine your old buddy coming over and you're having a chin wag. Look at how it's written in our book. It sounds like they were like this. Well, Bill, why don't you choose your own conception of God? That's not what happened. The truth be known. Ebby said, Jesus, Bill, choose your own goddamn conception of God. That's how it went. And that's what we're doing with the guys who come in. It's the same thing. We're saying, man, I don't care what you think you know. Are you even willing to believe that there might be something? And we assure them they're on their way. And I got to tell you, hey, Brian, like, there's a point at which right here, if you can't say at that point, you can't, if you're a person working with somebody, and this is for you guys who've been around here for a little while, if you're working with somebody, it's not like you say, okay, excellent, we completed step two, I'll catch you next week, and split. It's not like you had the 15 minutes to go over there and help the dude with step two, and now it's time to go. You got work to do now. You, as a person carrying this message, because this guy said, yeah, you know what? I got to have this, man. You got to take that time right there to put him into it. You got to steer him right into the, whoop, as soon as he said, I'm good. Because we got a window that's very small. And the minute I walk out that door, that ego reboots itself. His problems weren't as bad as he thought. This is a way heavy duty overreaction. This old geezer with the gray hair is mental. I'm not doing any of that stupid stuff. And that's where it goes. Like, I never believed in God. Now, why would I all of a sudden? And I'm never calling that guy back. We get into the work right there. That's the key. Oh, and I just want to talk quickly, sorry, about the cornerstone. He starts to make, there's been references already to this point about a foundation and about a basis that I was talking about, a base. So we have this foundation. Now we put two cornerstones up. There are two cornerstones being put in place. And the cornerstones, this is step two. And this question, this article of, I want to say an article of faith because it goes much deeper than that. It's an article basically of surrender, makes up the foundation stones for the arch that we're going to walk through. Like, these foundation stones are being put in place. Again, if you're doing a project or you're doing something like that, you don't wait a couple of days. You're doing it now. You're doing it right now. So that's a piece that I wanted to put on there.
Thank you, gentlemen. I regret, beg your pardon. Unfortunately, we're starting to run short on time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish the readings and ask you guys to share and maybe just keep an eye on the clock. It would be good if we could finish with maybe 6 or 7 minutes before 8 o'clock.
Okay.
From page 52, we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. With not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. We can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. And from Appendix 2, most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable.
Couple of minutes. All right. If so, 55, that last part you read in the book, if lack of power is my dilemma, well, this is where power is found, right? Deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea. God is part of our makeup. We had to search fearlessly, you know, it might get obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things. And you see that in the bedevilments. You see that if you're having trouble with personal relationships, emotional, you know, prey to misery, depression, it's because pomp and worship of other things is blocking you. And that idea that I talked about before, that, you know, is it possible that the mere code of morals is what you think is saving you now? And is it possible that there's a power that could take you past where you are? And it's the same power. It's in the same place that it always was. It's just being obscured by by calamity, by worship of other things, but it's still there. And we can still search fearlessly again to find the great reality deep inside of ourselves by removing those blocks. That's what this program is for. That's what this work does. It removes the blocks that have once again, my ego has put between me and God. Again, but the great news is always that no matter what's happened, no matter how far down the scale, not with drinking, of course with drinking, but also in sobriety and leading my life and as being a husband and a worker and a father and a friend, no matter how far down I've gone in any of that stuff, you know, I haven't prayed in weeks or months. I haven't sponsored anybody. I haven't, whatever it is I'm not doing, the answer is the same. It's still here. The great reality is still down within us. The instructions and the directions to unblock, to get back in touch with the power, they're still the same. I just have to go back in again. I have to abandon myself to him again. I have to follow the directions again to get taken back to that place, you know, to find the great reality that's down inside myself. It's always there. It's always available to me as long as I'm willing to do the work. You got 2 minutes, Marty.
2 minutes. The bedevilments. I just, you know, when I look at the bedevilments, I'll tell you what I use the bedevilments for now in my own personal sobriety is they're measuring sticks. They're just measuring sticks. They're yay and nays. I can evaluate. I can look at. So, and when I'm working with people, I can use them as measuring sticks for them too. And I hold them out there like that. But I got to say, we refer to the bedevilments as bedevilments. These are things that are upon us that we have little or no control over. We call them untreated alcoholism. We call it the spiritual malady. This in lies the third sort of component to what affects alcoholics very differently than if alcohol is my solution. These are the bedevilments. These are the things that rise up when alcohol or my solution is gone. This is what shows its face. And it'll all, like Brian said, it'll always cutesy. It'll be real cutesy about where it hides itself. I just want to touch on something because we're going to come back from it. Is that when we were looking at page 45, it said, hang on, give me a second. It says, lack of power. We had to get a power by which we could live. It had to be a power greater than ourselves. And it said, obviously, one word, obviously, period. But where and how do we find, where were we to find this power? And then you guys chose the readings. We go over to page 55. The where, it says, deep down in every man, woman, or child is the fundamental idea of God. The where, you go down the page halfway to it, it says, we found the great reality deep down within us. Any other confusion about what church you're supposed to go to or what anybody confused about what books you're supposed to be reading or anything like that about the God that we were talking about when we had to our table trying to tell you that you needed something? That God is found in these places right here. Where? Deep down inside you. It's blocked by calamity, pomp, and worship. Calamity is made up bullshit about things that are going wrong that actually don't matter. A pomp is that you think you know shit you don't know. And worship is her or money or the job or the San Jose Sharks. Or that's what it's about. It's about work. It's about your attention, your heart, your aspirations driven by something else. And that's what will block that. So the where is deep down within. The how, some might think that that's a little bit more detailed or intricate, but that's not what it says here. What the how is this? We had to search fearlessly. That's the how. How do you get this? How do you get tapped into this inner reason? We had to search fearlessly. How do we do that? We get rid of the fear. We get rid of the stuff that blocks us, the calamity, the pomp, the worship, the resentment, the sex conduct, the guilt, the shame, the remorse. That stuff has to be removed. When it talks about page 52, if you could stop that shit on your own, you wouldn't need steps 2 through 11. You wouldn't. I know, because for 14 years, I was a two-stepper, 1 and 12. I lived a happy, joyous, free life, not robbing banks. That was the measuring stick for the success of my life. That's it. I had children. I got educated. I had work. I did all these kinds of things. And everybody around me thought, wow, I don't know if you noticed, but there's just a trickle of insanity still left there. And this is fully armed with the facts of myself and trying to accept this program of treatment for many years. So I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged by a couple of things. When Brian and I get on here with you and we talk about this Alcoholics Anonymous stuff, we really do it. It's not a theory to us. This is a practical application of these 12 steps when we're expressing. The other thing is, you saw Brian get choked up and you've seen me get a little bit animated. We love this shit. It's so beautiful and important and powerful. And I will sit back when we're done and I will draw a breath and I will say, was it ever nice to meet those folks? But the bottom line is again, we had another opportunity. Hey, Brian, we had another opportunity just to touch on the magnificent stuff that's in here for us to experience and share with you guys so that maybe tomorrow you'll be a little bit more hopeful in your life, but maybe come at things a little differently. And God, thanks so much for allowing us some time with you guys. That's for sure.
Thank you so much, Brian and Marty. I'm grateful you could join us. You too, the two of you are a piece of work. Thanks very much. I'm going to unmute everyone at the end of the meeting so they can thank you as well. I'm going to go ahead and open up the chat so people can exchange phone numbers if they so desire. I noticed that I put our PayPal link in the chat. That's our basket. And our seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup and central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose. That is to help the alcoholic who still suffers. And that's credit cards and debit cards are okay. A word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? I went ahead and you all can unmute yourselves if you have an announcement. No announcements? Okie dokie. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members raise their hands. Thank you. Okay. Again, I'm going to unmute everyone after the Lord's Prayer. But first, we're going to read the last two paragraphs. A vision for you. That's on page 164, and BJ is going to read that for us.
Name's BJ. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, BJ.
Hey, BJ.
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. And I think we'll go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer, and you can unmute yourself if you choose. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks.
Ooh, folks. Straight fire.
Thanks,
straight
guys.
Fire.
I'm Julie. I'm an alcoholic. I wanted to say something. I was here for 5 years before. And I guess typically like an alcoholic, I drank and celebrated.